guys. This is the walk-on live show that we've been doing every week. This week happened to be on a Wednesday. It's usually on Tuesday, but this isn't set in stone. So you can join in, comment, interact, call. And if you miss the show, it plays back here on the podcast feed, and you can listen to the whole thing. It's very casual, kind of random, comment-based, very chill. Let's have a day. Let's go. Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, to the Not Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. This is the call-in show and doesn't need an introduction. Kluver, take it over.
I love the instinct by you, though. Welcome. It's like the end of that song, Coming Down, is like a trigger for you, which you have a several of those triggers.
But this one's a positive trigger.
It's a good one. Yeah, Drake said... Drake asked right before we went live if I thought this was going to be a good one. I think it is going to be a good one, especially with this conversation already happening in the chat. Look at all this shit. We got Caleb Lister already called us sons of bitches. We love that. You can only do that if you're as active as him in the Discord.
Dan, we can only hope that it gets as wild as Dickhead Tuesday, because everybody needs a pick-me-up.
I don't know if it's going to get that wild, though, because... He said, glad I was sitting down for that earlier. We told a hell of a story yesterday at the end. Oh, my. Kevin got taken advantage of. That's all I'll say. I'll throw up the call-in number in a second. Thank you guys for joining. 26 people in here already. Hopefully we get some more. I know this is a weird time. It's like, it's right when a bunch of people are logging off their computer that they have been not doing anything at for the last 2 hours of the day, because they're just acting like they're being productive before they can leave the desk job. At least a lot of people, maybe some people are productive towards the end of the day. I hope so. But I took a walk. I was on my Liver King stuff right before this, Drake. I took a little walk in the sun.
To be honest, you are very much Liver King Jr.
Yeah. I just haven't put the...
You're equally as irritating as that big fucking steroid junkie.
He is juiced, but he's actually...
Liver King, sure. The guy eats liver, all right? How much money are we going to let this fucking juice head make just marketing the fact that he eats a part of an animal that is super nutrient dense? Like, yeah. Hey, guy... You're not special. You just use a lot of steroids. You fat cuck.
Speaking of, we went through a nice line of books yesterday by that Gossy guy. One of them called My Dad's a Cuck. Oh, this show sucks. We are going to get into some Iowa football stuff as well. Welcome to everybody just listening on the replay. Whether that be on Thursday or Friday, or you catch this 3 years from now, how you doing?
Hey, first of all, David, eat my dick, all right? Because I show up and face y'all live. I don't hide behind recording it at night on a Sunday. I'm showing up face to face. So fuck you. That's what I have to say. See you in the Discord.
That's good for attention. Before I was out on my walk in the sun, grabbing the mail. Couple kids are down at the end of the street on their bikes after school. Good to see them outside. And there's a kid that lives next door to me. And they're like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, yeah. I mean, they obviously know that I know this kid. They hang out with him. He's like, yeah, he was talking about you the other day. He said that you work out all the time,
that's what you're known for, dude. You're the workout all the time guy.
No. I'm literally known as buff guy. I'm fucking buff guy, dude, to these little kids. Now, I opened the garage door the other day and they're running around. Like there's probably 10 kids age 7 to 13 that all hang around, run around, throw football, ride bikes in this little back alley of where I live. I opened the garage the other day and they're kind of in my driveway and they know, they've all seen me work out. Like that's what I do when the garage opens. And so they all kind of scatter real quick. And one of the little ones just starts like, it's like Game of Thrones with Battle of the Bastards when they charge each other. He starts running the other direction. He goes, "It's Buff Guy, look out." I'm laughing my ass off, dude. That's what I'm known for. And you know what's sad is I am muscular, like whatever. I'm not some imposing dude, but these kids know me as Buff Guy because not a single one of their dads has ever shown them a piece of muscle in their life. This is what we're supposed to look like if you do things right. And that's where our society is. And because their dad looks like Augustus Gloop, I become Clark Kent of the neighborhood. So I don't know what the biggest problem is here. The one that the kids on the neighbor around the block know me as the shirtless dude, Buff Guy. The fact that their dads are eaten in the chocolate factory or and wish that they looked like me, or the fact that their moms also wish that they looked like me because they haven't felt sexual excitement in 10 years to their partner. I don't know which one. I don't know. Welcome to the fucking live show, everybody.
I can't follow that. I need to log off.
I can be funny too sometimes.
I can't follow Buff Guy and you calling out moms for not having sexual attraction to their partner for 10 years. I can't follow that.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Hey, there's a fifth and I'm pleading it, kid.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Wait until you're old fat guy like most of us. I love those comments. You fucking silly gooses. You didn't look like me when you were my age. When did you ever look like this, you know? And it's not just at you, Tracy. I get it. You're projecting your life, your inability to hold discipline to an exercise routine. I understand. I totally get it. It's what 99% of people do. But people don't get that this is my life. Am I wrong? Drake, am I wrong? It's not directed straight at Tracy because she is the spokesperson in that comment for what everybody says. I love it. Just
I read that comment a long time before you said anything about it. Yeah. And I was sitting here with butterflies just waiting for you to get to it.
Because you know how that makes me feel.
And I do. I know how it makes you feel, pal. I'm just the guy reading the comments, man. Ben wants to know about the high roller match. And so that is submission grappling. So there are no points. It's not like typical, it's kind of like MMA without punches in a way, because in MMA there's no points for positions, it's just who wins the round. But then at the end, if there was no submission after 5 minutes or 6 minutes, however long the match was, I actually don't even remember, then it's minute overtimes followed by first to score. So it's kind of MMA-ish, but then kind of like I don't even know how to explain it, but that's it.
Long story short, Drake had to choke out an alien to win it, and he did it.
Did it.
This is absolutely a hilarious question.
I have my answer, but it's a name that I'm not even going to give the satisfaction.
Well, let's just put it this way. There's a few teammates who... I don't need to get into it.
I was an airborne army paratrooper and I'm a man. Tracy is not a fan of you right now.
No, I totally get that. Well, but that's cool. I mean, respect. Airborne army paratrooper is great. But if you're fat as fuck now, I don't respect the discipline.
What about the fact that he's a man, not a woman, like you called him?
Well, I mean, it, give it to me. The profile pic is a man and a woman, and Tracy is probably more a woman's name than a man's. So sorry for assuming. I know it's 2022. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I respect
shit.
I respect the Airborne Army Paratrooper. That is badass. I bet that was a hell of a time. But just because you were something doesn't mean that you are something now. I was a Division I football player. It don't mean shit now, you know? Just facts.
Switch.
Is Swish in here? What's he doing? I'm fucking triggered. Swish. Ooh-wee. What do you say up here? Thinking of Kluver every time you wake up. Kind of sus. Swish is an asshole. Oh, yeah.
People see Bane. Here's,
oh, yeah. Bane's in the picture. Steven's coming to my defense. Thanks to me. Steven looks the best he has in 10 years. Credit. Wrong pronouns. Yeah, it's the pronouns, man. All right, let's crawl all the way back up here to one of the questions that someone dropped about football. And you actually put yourself through watching this game, right, Drake? The Michigan game?
Yes.
Some of it?
Yeah, it was 20-0 at half, and I don't know if I saw any more than that because I had to go train.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I mean, I saw it get to 20-0.
It was still 20-0 starting the fourth quarter. We scored on the first play of the fourth quarter. Then it got a little bit interesting, but not much. Who wins in a fight, Drake or Bane? I think probably Drake for now, but
forever. When I say so, he drops and plays dead.
I know. Look at it. He's a cutie right now, just sitting there. Does he like his ears petted?
Does he?
Every dog does.
His satellites?
Seriously, those things are like antennas. Zach says, "What's going on, guys? So I know you love the coaching staff. I love that that pretense. So I know you love the coaching staff.
I do.
But when is the time Iowa needs to start making changes to help out this offense? Sucks that Iowa's defense is elite every year. Well, it actually doesn't suck. It sucks that we don't also have an elite offense. Damn near top 5 to 10 every single year. And then the offense has, is that comment trail off? Do I not get, the offense has never been above 50 under Kirk's tenure. Yeah, I mean,
dude, we don't get that many good offensive players.
And the ones we do usually get make our offense run, and that's the
– And then some line. Of the ones we get go to Purdue.
Some of them – that's a tough one. Dude, I'm getting Charlie on the show.
Oh, for sure, dude, because we're huge Charlie Jones fans.
Big Charlie Jones fans. So, Zach, here's the deal, and this is – I'm glad you bring up the question because I think people are starting to go this way. And this is where I think we need to stop being a little greedy when it comes to we want change, you know? Give me change. Obama, 2008, change. We don't have to look very far. And this is when, in regards to Coach Ferentz, head Coach Ferentz. Head Coach Ferentz, not Brian Ferentz. At this point, if you told me, you could definitely argue, and I'm probably on the side of that Brian, and this is hard to tell too because I don't know exactly how much super control he has on the offense. And then you make the argument, well, then if KF is the one who controls the offense, whatever. I'm talking about just Coach Ferentz at the top. Be real careful what you wish for because I think here's the sentiment I've seen. I'm not saying we need to fire Coach Ferentz, but we need to do something. No one wants to say it because the respect that Coach Ferentz has garnered and just like established in front of everybody for years and years and years is so strong. But what you're saying is, I hope someone else says it and makes a good argument because I could get behind going in a different direction than Coach Kirk Ferentz. Here's the issue with that. Bo Pelini won 9 games a year at Nebraska. Pretty elite record, in fact, over his tenure there. They got greedy in a similar position we were right now. I think they won 9 games in his last season. They fire him. And that wasn't necessarily because he was the teams weren't doing good, but he wasn't good enough in some capacity in their minds. They go and get Scott Frost. Seems to be a home run hire. Home run. There's no way things could get worse. And ever since that happened in 2016, 2017.
Frost has been there 6 years.
Did we play him?
I don't even remember, dude.
I think we played him in his first year. So 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, now 22. So I think this is his fifth or sixth year. He's fired now. Their program dropped to a 5-win-per-year program. It got worse and couldn't climb out of it for an entire 6 years. 6 years later, they are now nowhere. They're actually worse off than when they thought they were going to go and be better than Pelini. If we, and I think this is where everybody gets confused, is that if we just replace Coach Kirk Ferentz and replace our offensive coordinator, things just change, just like that. Things just get better. Immediately next year, we're going to have an offense ranked 40th in the country. Defense will still be top 10. Natty. Championship. It's just not that easy. Even in a good program, if a coach retires and the program is in good standing, there is still a rebuilding. Because now a new head coach. Now, there is a caveat to this. If someone like Coach Woods were to take over, there wouldn't be a whole lot of getting Coach Woods's guys into the program, because Coach Woods's guys and Coach Ferentz's guys are the same guys. But if it's somebody from the outside that isn't currently on the coaching staff, he's going to have an entire team that wasn't recruited by him. He has to develop an entire rapport with every single one of those guys, every single one of the coaches. Maybe they implement a new philosophy. People still have to start learning things differently. Like, the odds that things go up right away are not great. And we just won 10 games last year. I know it was boring. I know it wasn't fun to watch. We won 10 games. We were in Indianapolis.
It was by far the most depressing 10 wins of all time.
But when you look at 10 wins, 10 wins is 10 wins.
10 wins, 10 wins, pal. But damn, did it. It was irritating.
It was irritating mostly because of the fear that if we keep playing like we're playing, we're going to lose. That's a big part of it. And we were right. We got our asses curb stomped in the Big Ten Championship. I understand that. But if you could guarantee me 10 wins every season for the rest of my life, I'll take it right now. I don't care if every game is 3-0. And most people, that's just me. Some people would rather see 7 or 8 wins and those wins be by a combined 20 or 30 points. I don't know. I'll get off my soapbox. Let's come down here.
If you want to make the argument that Coach Brian is a better offensive line coach than an offensive coordinator, like, okay, but I just don't see how much different this offense is than Coach Davis's offense.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
It's just a little more modern than Coach Davis's offense. I played in it. I mean, all it is just it's progressively getting more modern, but I'll tell you what, the depth of Coach Brian's playbook is way, way, way deeper than what we're seeing, because his comfortability and confidence in the offense that he is coaching is not very high. And this is all guessing by me, but I know by what I learned in Coach Brian's offense that he's got a lot more than what they're doing right now. He just doesn't have what it takes to do what he wants.
The Jimmies and the Joes.
He doesn't have what he wants to do what he wants.
I didn't say it. Drake did, but I also 100% back that statement. I don't think I think that the wholesale changes people want to make, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the system, 11 guys are still going to run out on that field. And I'm not even saying that we have a bad 11 guys out there. I'm just saying that compared to what it's been in the past, specifically on the offensive line, we just haven't been able to find that congruency, the chemistry, the dominance. Just isn't there. And that's what the stats say.
Dude, the stats are bad, man.
Yeah. You know, we know Spencer, great kid. Honestly, one of the most resilient motherfuckers I think has ever gone through the program with what he's had to endure from the outside. Would be glad to have him on this podcast. I can't think of a better representative for the University of Iowa, to be honest. But when it comes to
the kid's got heart.
Heart bigger than mine. But when it comes to straight up just balling on the field, like he's a very middle of the road, below average quarterback. And that's just what the objective numbers say. We could somehow magically install the air raid offensive attack this week, and it's not going to look like what it's supposed to look like when you run them out there. Caleb, I believe you put this in the Discord, and you put it here. Do you think Michigan knew how to expose RD, or did it just seem that way through their offensive scheme to give McCarthy more confidence with hitting underneath routes?
Everybody knows how to beat our defense. It's just right. They have to do it.
Right.
Michigan had good enough players to do it.
Yeah. I think offensive coaches in high school could figure out Iowa's defense. Like, not hard.
We don't blitz and we run an under front a lot.
Right. It's not tough to know where – there's not a single defense out there that doesn't have a weak – weak points, right? Points where the offense can attack. The way that Iowa runs a defense, we keep everything in front. And eventually, the offense will make a mistake or the defensive guy will make a play, make a read, and that's when we capitalize. And it happens 95% of the time. The way it doesn't happen is if we play a team that is better than us talent-wise, who then executes extremely clean. And we did that. And that's okay. We still only gave up 27 points. I mean, that's not a lot, not a ton. It's not a little bit, but it's not a ton. Oh, what do we got here? Mike Riley was also trash. Yeah, he was like Mr. Rogers from It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. One thing that's hard to argue against, though, is the offense has steadily gotten worse the longer Brian has been the OC. It's what the numbers say. Yeah.
But in 2017, you wouldn't have said that we had a really bad offense. In 2018, you wouldn't have said we had a really bad offense.
Yeah, I think
dude, we went out and beat Mississippi State in 2018.
Yeah, I mean the production,
pretty damn good win.
Yeah. The production yardage wise and points wise still wasn't great. I think what has to be considered here is when you just look at, you know, in a vacuum, the Iowa offense under Coach Brian has been 90th in the country at yards per output, right? We always forget that the way Iowa plays defense is altering those numbers a little bit. Special teams as well. Torrey Taylor in our special teams and our defense is making up for about 100 yards a game that other teams are not. Like, if you look at those other teams, how much yards we gain in the form of, it's not there for us to gain those yardage, those yardages on offense because we have short fields or because Torrey Taylor gets us out, you know, puts us down and then our defense does something crazy and they score. We do that so often that we probably make up 15 or 20 spots in the ranking just because of the other phases of our football team. Then you also have to consider the fact that yes, Brian has been the OC during that time, but then what's happened with the offensive line since that time, which isn't necessarily Brian's fault. Again, we've mentioned it, 2016 to now, the offensive line has looked a little different.
I forgot about the USC win.
Smoked like, them too.
I'm telling you, man, this offense as a system is not the issue. It's not a broken system.
It may be a system that requires a little more to work correctly, though.
It's a professional system.
Yes.
It is. That's Coach Brian tried to model his system the best he could off of a professional system, just limiting the verbs a little bit.
Yeah.
It's why we force our offensive linemen to be able to work together up to the second level and like almost work to cutting off or not like cut it, but cutting free the backside because it's all timing and it's a professionally based run scheme.
And we don't have 11 professional athletes.
But you can't change. How do you just dumb down your run scheme?
Well, when you do, you know, it looks like some of the what we have gotten. Isn't it part of a coach's job to make it work with the guys we do have? As best they can. If only most people understood how hard that is, you know. Anyway, let's see. All I'm saying is, and the whole start of that was people who think we need to fire KF are absolutely off their rocker.
I'm so tired of talking about firing that guy.
It's unbelievable. A small part of me doesn't wish that it would happen, but would love to see the backlash of like 2-3 years after that and everyone be like, fuck, man, we fired Coach Ferentz. What were we doing? I mean, I don't really want to see that, but did I miss the talk about Big E and the H-Bam flag? Benjamin, you did if you didn't listen to the first part of the Michigan recap with Kevin and I. We talked about it a little bit. Pretty cool. He lost his flag, so now we sent him another shipment. I sent him a shirt and two flags. So he's all decked out. Big E's all in. This Doyle question comes up again. Do you think Coach Doyle ever gets another shot after everything gets settled? I hope so, if that's what he wants. I have a 560-page motion for summary judgment on that has a bunch of testimonies that basically proves that everything was a lie. It's not really like the public doesn't really see it because no one's following it that closely, but I've got my hands on it. Going to do a podcast on it at some point. At this point, legally, this is not my opinion, legally, it's literally come to light that Doyle basically got fucked. So that's tough. And that makes me sad. And that's something that I knew or was pretty sure.
This podcast has gone to bat for him.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. I mean, we only knew what we knew, but we were pretty inside on all that.
We were pretty confident.
No one was going to believe the three white kids who, you know, because they're just sticking up for their guy, because we must be inherently racist too.
Me too, because he is a baller.
Animal. Gonna have to
get him. He's killing it, dude.
Yeah. Gonna have to get it in between NFL tryouts or practices because he's gonna be on a squad somewhere. 100%.
100%.
I'm actually slightly a Baylor fan this year just because of him. The last couple of years, I've been like a Baylor Bear fan because of Dylan Doyle.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy that got fucked in that whole situation too. I mean, he's finding success just fine, but any chance of a collab with the Iowa Everywhere guys? Drake doesn't even know who that is because he is a He.
That would be correct.
So for your purposes, Drake, Iowa Everywhere is a new podcast network that was started by Chris Williams, who does like an Iowa State fan site and has been on, he was on radio for 7 years in Des Moines, and he has been a media guy for Iowa State for a long time. He partnered up with John Miller and Chris Hassel. They've got a bunch of Iowa State shows. J-Bo and another Iowa State kid or young guy are doing a show that I think is basketball focused. They just started a bunch, like they've got like 7 or 8 shows all under one network that they just started up a couple months ago. So John Miller is not scared of me. I don't think that's true. John and I have had multiple conversations, talked on the phone multiple times, had a lot of good conversations with John, gotten a lot of good advice from John. John Miller is going to come on the show eventually, but we'll get him on here. With Tory Taylor being one of the most recognizable faces of Iowa football, does Drake still stand behind his stance that special teams guys hold hands and touch each other? Great question. Yes. You think so?
I mean, you can only know what you know.
Got the job done, though. Huh? I mean, is what it is. Dude, Bane is cute as hell right now. He's putting on for the squad.
It's my boy.
Oh, man. Let's throw up that guy. See if we can't get a call in. Whoever wants to chime in, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes or so. You call that number, and I'm pretty sure that it'll ring on my phone and we can talk to you live. If you have anything that you'd like to chat to me and Drake about, be careful, because Drake holds no punches unless his elbow's a little tight. His elbow's experiencing some tightness recently. Might cause him to only work some jabs. You train today? You did train today because you texted me during it, didn't you? Yeah.
During it? I don't think during.
After, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, no, it was when I was lifting. I texted you how about my elbow hurt.
Yep.
Yep.
It's tough.
So that's where we're at.
I did 75-pound dumbbells overhead, locked out, carry, like a farmer's carry, but overhead. That shit had me shaking. Fucking. And I was thinking about you because it was my elbows.
Who do you see getting the Wisconsin job? Dude, I thought it was pretty crazy that they fired Wisconsin's coach already.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that with you, Drake.
That one's wild to me.
Same ordeal. It's the same thing. Guy had one bad year last year. Rough start this year. I'll give him that, right? Tough to get beat by Illinois by 24. I mean, Illinois made him look like bad. Oh, we got a caller. Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
That's the walk on.
This is us.
Sweet.
What's up, brother?
How's it going?
We're just hanging out. What's on? What's on your mind?
Just had a quick question. So with Chris getting fired, that's kind of a big deal in a football locker room. I was just wondering if like a halfway through your guys' career at Iowa and parents got the hack, or even like a position coach, something like that, or a offensive defensive coordinator goes, that change your career at the college? You start looking somewhere else. Maybe if you think maybe you're, I don't know, if you're not going to be put out there as much, or maybe looking at something at the next level, is that just, you think some guys might leave if something might change up there? I just like your input on that.
Sure. Appreciate the question. Thanks for calling in. We had that happen with a couple guys, Drink.
I loved it.
I was going to say it could go one of couple ways there. We actually had, so the year that we came into the program, the guy that recruited me, and I'll say that, that was very light recruitment. He basically was like, yeah, I mean, sure, you can come. His name was, God, I always forget his name. He went to Nevada, actually. I forget. He was the old running back and special teams coach.
Oh, yeah. That asshole.
Yeah, what was his name?
I don't remember.
I don't either. He recruited me, and then all of a sudden, we come into
one asshole for another.
We come into the program, and Lester Erb, that was it. Lester Erb. We come into the program, and all of a sudden, it's like, all right, and the running backs and special teams coach is Chris White. Okay, never met this guy. And that's like, that's weird, right? Like, you don't have any rapport with him. Drake loved him. I mean, they were friends. Also, at that same time, Bobby Kennedy came into the program. Soup. I believe, I don't remember his first name, but there was a guy with last name Campbell that was a receivers coach. He left at the time. And Bobby Kennedy came in. And for a while there, we had Coach Jim Reed was in the program. And then he left in the middle of our time and went out to coach. I think he was the DC at Boston College for a couple years. So yeah, we had some coaching turnover. I would say that depends on how much of your being at the university really lies in the relationship with your coaches. For me, I barely hung out with coaches. Like, I didn't spend hardly any time with coaches. Like, we didn't have a coach in our position meetings. We were self-run. It's not like now where LeVar is in the special teams, like the kicker's room, and they're watching film of their, like, we watched it by ourselves, and then we just hung out until the meal was ready, right? I didn't feel the need, and this is kind of me personally, but I don't really get close to a lot of people, right? I wasn't someone who needed a really strong coach relationship to like bring me through college, right? If anything, the people I was closest with was probably the assistant strength coaches, DeMarco and Mark and Cody. Like, so I think there definitely have been people who, you know, especially if we're talking about out of state guys, like if somebody goes and gets a guy from Florida and convinces them to leave their hometown, leave the state, come to the Midwest, play for me, you're my guy, and they develop a great relationship through recruiting, and then they happen to leave, yeah, that's probably a big deal. I saw a tweet by Braylon Allen that he was like totally behind Paul Chryst, and it essentially said anybody who wanted Chryst fired is not part of this team. Like, guys have their coaches back. Now, if KF would have been let go during our tenure,
I'd have probably quit.
Would you?
Yeah, because then Brian's gone.
Probably, yeah.
If Brian's gone, I got it. Yeah, I quit.
I'm out. Fuck it. I'm out. I don't know if I would have quit.
I would gladly go play for another program that wasn't nearly as goddamn hard.
You're soft, dude. I mean, it also depends on like where you're at in your career, right? Like, what if you got one more year versus if you've got 4 years left, you're like, okay, then let's maybe reevaluate, shitty situation, but let me go start somewhere else. I don't know. That's probably an individualized thing. It definitely isn't insignificant by any means. If a whole new head coach comes in, that fucking sucks. I mean, that's horrible. Who was it that got fired after the Eno situation? I don't know if anybody got fired for the Eno situation. I mean, that was Eno's fault. Eno broke the rules, I think. I mean, I don't know. Swish, come on. Drake, look.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious, isn't it?
It is what it is, you know. It just is what it is. You are on the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Awesome. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Quick question for you guys. I know, I think it was the last live pod, you guys were saying, we think, you know, I was a top 15, top 20 coaching job. Mm-hmm. And I, I just think what Kirk Ferentz does at Iowa is so underappreciated. I think, you know, we're one bad coaching hire away from dropping out of that top 15 to top 20 number, and I'll be curious to see what happens to Wisconsin, or you look at a Nebraska who's had coaching turmoil. Kirk Ferentz can be there as long as he wants, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm 44. I know two coaches, and that's been a huge, huge blessing. So I'll hang up and listen, but just wanted your thoughts.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man, and the question. Thanks for chiming in. Great question. I will say this, the sentiment that has grown, that Coach Ferentz has fostered, the way that Hayden did it and now Kirk, like, it is going to be a tough day. It doesn't matter if we hire LeVar Woods.
But that's the reason why it's such a highly coveted job, and I think top 15 is still too low, because look at the support that the last two head coaches have gotten.
Yeah.
For like 50 years, there is only support.
The question is the job that high of a job?
Dude, it's the University of Iowa. It's a big-time job.
There's a lot of big-time jobs, though. And is Iowa, do they – of course it's there right now. But is it because Hayden and Kirk built it into that, or in absence of them, some Joe Schmo comes in with 5 to 10 years of Joe Schmo, who is just whatever and isn't a guy like Hayden or Kirk? Does the job fall off because Iowa doesn't have the appeal of other, you know, there's no blue blood. There is no, you know, you're cold weather. You're not in a recruiting hotbed. How long does it take before Iowa isn't a top job anymore? I think that's what the caller's getting at there, is like, it's a top 15, top 10 job now. That's in my opinion. I really, not that I give a fuck about what anybody else thinks, but I would love to see what Kirk Herbstreit thought about the Iowa job, or like somebody who is more into football across the entire country. I mean, is Wisconsin, if whoever Wisconsin hires sucks, right? Is Wisconsin a top job for very long?
Well, that's the reason I think that Wisconsin's less of a top job than it is in Iowa City. Iowa City is Iowa's mecca. Like, in Wisconsin, there's the Packers. There's a lot of other things, dude.
That is one thing that Iowa has.
People love Badger football. I'm not saying that's not true, but people are diehard fanatical for Iowa football. We're the mecca of Iowa. Like, and we don't fire coaches. Wisconsin fires coaches. So what's more attractive than job security and fans that just absolutely freaking will die for you?
Yeah. If you get the job at Iowa, this is from Hair Trigger. If you get the job at Iowa, you know they'll give you time to get it figured out. And unlike a lot of programs where you are gone after a few years, makes it more, even more of an attractive job. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You are it if you're the head coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes. You're going to get a chance. The stability and infrastructure that's been built within the program is probably going to lead to a guy that is similar, someone who the fans can get behind and make their long-term guy. I don't know why Nebraska is such a – the media, for some reason, just loves Nebraska. They love Nebraska way more than they love Iowa. Like, that job, for all intents and purposes, is ass. That job is ass.
Ass.
But for some reason, it's still going to be like one of the most sought-after jobs in the country this season. Because, I don't know, they were good in the 90s, and I don't know why people keep holding them up, but maybe that's an example of what Iowa might be when that head coaching job is available. I don't know. Drake could be right. I see. This is where I didn't want to show that one. Everyone talking about Jim Leonard as the next Wisconsin head coach. To be honest, has the Wisconsin defense been very good this year? They haven't been this year, but they are so good. They have always
been. They're so good.
And that may be a great analogy or comparison to the Iowa offense, as don't get dogmatic about it, but if Jim Leonard has a down year as the DC at Wisconsin, is it because Jim forgot how to coach defense? Or is it because a couple linebackers just aren't quite as good as, I don't know, who did they have that's in the NFL now? The kid for the Browns.
Edwards.
They had all these guys who were savages. Like, you can have the best coach in the world, and if you run out a bunch of Creek Beavers, you're fucked. You're done. It doesn't matter, right? Jim Leonard at Marshalltown, we would have been just as bad. I would have had hella more tackles, though, and I already had a bunch, let's be honest.
I hate you, bro.
I mean, just let's put the cards on the table. Oh, let's see here.
I can't stand you, bro.
That's false. That's just not true. Do you guys think that the refs will ever have to answer for their calls after a game like the coaches and players do, or will they not be held accountable?
Listen, dude, there's a couple times where I actually wanted to commit homicide on referees. So I wish that they were held more accountable, because I would have been held accountable for that homicide, but I shouldn't have been, because it was 100% their fault.
Here's the deal. They are not held accountable to the result, to a point where it changes the result of the game, but they are held accountable within their refs association. I don't know what they call it, but like, they have to answer to a panel that judges them as referees. Like, those refs get put in crews and on big games or not so big games based on how accurate they are, based on reviews that a judging system, people who are not, probably people who were referees at one point but now are not, they sit there, they go back through, they watch how many calls a guy missed or made that were wrong. They give them, I'm pretty sure, like a legit a percentage or like a score. And they have to answer in that way. I just don't think there's – like, how are they going to answer? What are you going to do? Put them at a fucking – stick them up there in a dunk tank and be like, you made a shitty call. Time to get dunked. Like, it's the state fair. Splash. Oh, he answered for his mistakes. You must repent. Maybe maybe in the post-game press conference, Drake, we let the craziest guy on the team step up.
Me.
And the ref step up, and you just get 5 minutes to, like, it's kind of no rules, you know?
That would have gone super poorly for a couple of referees.
Does Matt Campbell wish he got out 2 years ago?
Dude, he was the king, right? He was the beloved king. He was the next savior of every program.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if it's crossed his mind. I would bet that some version of it has. But Matt Campbell's stock right now, definitely not as high as it was when they were, you know, during the COVID, the 2020 year, or even last year. Like, you're 3-2. You barely beat the worst offense in the country. You lost to Baylor, who isn't the best team in the Big 12, and then lost to Kansas, who has 7 wins in the last 70 years. Tough, you know? I don't know. Matt Campbell, it probably has flashed across his mind like, fuck, I should have got out and took that. I think he was a name for the USC job at one point. I mean, at one point, any job was his. I don't know about that anymore. Maybe that's a good thing for Iowa because he's had a real rough time beating the Hawks. I don't know. Thoughts on Rutgers returner laying a hit on the OSU punter. Did you see that?
Fairest of fair game. That is all fair game, dude.
Well, because
if a punter is going to fake a punt on you, especially up like that, because it was up, right?
It was essentially a Rastetter. Except
I thought so. I was just making sure that I had the game set right.
You did. They were up.
Fair game. And actually, if I was the coach, he would be getting extra benefits the next week.
More NIL.
Especially if he was suspended. Especially if like the Big Ten suspended him. I would be like paying him. I'd probably make sure he had steakhouse meals. Tab paid for every night that week. Make sure him and his girlfriend had nice dates. I'd pay for everything. The dude's a gangster for that hit. Fuck that so, punter.
Yeah. I mean, as a punter, if you're going to do that, you're going to find out real quick.
Play dumb games, win dumb prizes.
Fuck around and find out. Have you seen
fuck
that?
Fuck around and find out.
If you're going to play a game where you're now comparing your athleticism to the athleticism of actual football players, you're going to lose. You're probably going to lose.
Especially one with bad intentions.
Rastetter's fucking lucky that he didn't get decapitated.
So lucky.
That guy was so fast when he turned on Colton. Oh, my God.
Dude, he ran him down like, oh, man, DK Metcalf, bro.
Yeah, it was over. I mean, Colton didn't have to get that many yards.
No, dude, it was like 8.
I think I could have maybe gotten there.
God, tell you what, Colton, he was stuck in the mud. He was shitting his pants.
He had to have been so embarrassed and like the most turtle shell after that play.
Oh my God.
This from Swish, pretty on brand. Ryan Day equals cuck? Question mark.
Could be. I don't know much about the guy.
He loves watching his players fuck other teams in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I'll have to say yes on that one. I mean, they're killing everybody. You know? I'm thinking of that book yesterday. Cinnamon, the horse that got involved in the sex trade or whatever. DHT got wild yesterday, boys and girls.
When doesn't it, though? Like, at this point, we're both so egregious that.
I know. This show is an absolute catastrophe. Did you see that Dallas Clark is doing an Ironman?
Really?
Yeah, dude. The full Ironman. That's 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of biking, and a marathon.
So here's my question for Dallas is like, well, what do you got to prove? Why?
Well, it says here, former Colts tight end Dallas Clark was looking for a new challenge last summer. It's been about 7 years since number 44 retired after a 12-year career in which he caught 505 passes for 5,665 yards and 53 touchdowns. Dude is a legend.
It's a lot.
And one day last August, it kind of hit him. How about competing in an Ironman race? Now, then it quotes him. I can do this. So I should do this before I can't do it anymore. I should do this. It's one of those things that's like, yeah, why not? Come on, let's go. That sounds so much like him. He's such like a, he's a savage. Clark will compete.
Yeah, but like you know how hard that is on your joints, dude?
It's tough.
He has to train to be able to run a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Run a marathon on knees that played 12 years in the NFL, man.
After you bike for 112
miles. Bro, he put 12 years in the NFL on those knees and on those hips. And now he's going to run a marathon on them.
Not a small guy either.
Like, why though?
He will compete in the 2022 Ironman World Championship October 6th and 8th in Kailua Kona, Hawaii. Well, that's
he's decent. Running the one in Hawaii.
Jesus. To raise money for raise money for Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital in Indianapolis.
Good guy, Dallas.
Good guy, Dallas. Hero. And the University of Iowa Children's Family Children's Hospital. He hopes to raise $2 million to go towards those institutions and admitted it's a lofty goal. But like Clark told Peyton Manning when the two discussed it, I don't know if I don't try right now, so let's do it. I mean, this race is insane. Why not? Let's see what we can do. And then you can donate. We might put that in the show notes.
Here's the thing. If Peyton Manning asked me to do an Ironman, I think I could train for an Ironman.
You know what? Because you and I, well, I mean, I'm having a kid, so that's going to make it tougher. But I still am planning on competing in CrossFit, which is just as much. It would be, I wish that I lived near you because then you and I could do some crazy shit together. And training for an Ironman with you would be fun as hell.
No, it wouldn't.
Every day, bro? Come on.
I like jiu-jitsu, dude. I wouldn't train for an Ironman. I like jiu-jitsu. I don't need to swim anymore, dude. I did that all growing up.
I want to see you
run. My ankle doesn't work. I don't have a proper articulating ankle at all.
The run would be tough for Drizzy Boy.
And I'm all about biking, so we can go on bike rides.
Yeah. Thanks to a connection made through his friend and IndyCar driver Tony Kanan, Clark has been training with the 6-time Ironman champion Mark Allen in preparation for October. Well, of course he has.
It's a decent connection.
It's a completely different kind of training than he's used to as a former football player. For one, part of the training is to run for 30 minutes with no distance or speed factored in, unlike the 40-yard dash. Well, yeah, 30 minutes, fucking a lot longer than that. Oh, he's just talking about zone 2 training. Bro, I could have – see, this is – I don't know what – Dallas could have moved to Waukee. We could have trained together. We could have got it done, brother. The mental state is still there, Clark said. It's that two-minute drill, a minute 13 on the clock, down by 4, need a touchdown. You still have that opportunity to find that dig, find that gut check, and have that mind, that chance to talk yourself out of it or talk yourself into it. Now is the time. You're not getting any younger. Come on. Let's go. He's got real energy. Not that fake Gervais juice.
I'm still not inspired enough to go run an Ironman.
Yeah. Peyton tells Drake to eat 20 shit-filled Parmesan pizzas. He'd do it. I don't know what this even – I mean, what is the relevance of that? But it's funny. Have you seen the Papa John's guy?
Isn't he a pedophile?
30 pizzas in 30 days. Yeah, he's some weirdo. He got fired. I don't even know. I don't know. I saw Dallas Clark park in a handicap spot in Baumgars once by him hometown. Took a little off the top. What does that mean?
I don't – Bro, can we shut this thing down? We've been going an hour.
You're right. We have been going an hour. All right. Thanks for joining the live show today. Swish. Go read the Bible or something. You need it. And
we need it.
We appreciate everybody. We will be back. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm recording another podcast in an hour with Kevin. We're going to preview the Illinois game. I got to find some other shit to talk about because we're not just going to talk about Illinois. So you listen to that and this tomorrow if you didn't catch the whole thing. Until then.
Oh, yeah. Tom Brady is getting divorced. Tough for him.
We'll talk about that tonight. See you guys later.